Brought to you by the letter I for Impact, as been Impact Media, who brings this show live to you free each and every week. Thanks to those guys. Got a couple guests lined up today. Of course, a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk to Kawan Dewberry, who is the backup quarterback for your Revolution. But right now, I want to bring on my special guest who is on the line. He is the returning wide receiver star of this team, Brett Reef Jr. How you doing, Brett?
I'm doing good, Jeremy. How are you?
I am doing pretty good. You know, let's start right there with that. What was it like to be back last week?
Man, there's no words I can explain it, man. It was awesome. Just being back on the field and doing what I love, and there's no words I can explain it. It was awesome.
Yeah, I bet it was, because I don't know who was more excited, you to be back or me that you were back on the field.
We were probably just as excited.
Exactly. It was. I mean, it's exciting to have you back on there. And then not only, you know, you could see with anybody returning, I was seeing you, you know, get your feet wet and then get more comfortable and more comfortable. And, you know, at one point, Kent pretty much started calling his own plays and started telling which personnel to be on the field. And every time he made sure that you were on the field.
Yes, sir. I mean, that's the chemistry that me and Kent have. I mean, we've been practicing for the past 4 weeks together now, so he's getting a lot more comfortable with me back after being out there, and I'm getting a lot more comfortable being out there myself. And so, I mean, just like I said before, being back on the field, running routes against people other than our defense, trying to score touchdowns every play, man, it's awesome.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you wear number 88 still, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I was pretty sure of that. I was making sure. I had it wrote down, and for some reason it's not in front of me anymore. I guess our stat guy is going to owe us a laugh in a minute again. But while he's busy doing that, you wear number 88 for a reason, and I was going to let you explain to everybody what reason that is, of course.
Yes, sir. So it's been my number since my sophomore year in high school. Actually, when I started playing professional in arena, it switched to 6, but in my heart, I've always been 88. But the real reason that I actually wear 88 is because my favorite receiver of all time is Marvin Harrison. I don't know necessarily why I started to like him, but, I mean, he was just a quiet guy who did his job, ran his routes the way he was supposed to. He caught the ball when it was thrown to him. That's kind of how I operate as well. I don't talk too much. I just do what I have to do.
Exactly, and that's one of the things that I know I like about you, is that you let your play on the field dictate what people think about you and you know, the overall perception and everything. Because especially in the indoor leagues, we all enjoy good celebrations here and there, but also like sometimes when after a good play, you turn and hand the ball back to the referee and just kind of glance at the scoreboard.
Yes, sir. I mean, that's what I've done since high school. We were taught to act like you've been there before, so it's been, you know, instilled in my brain just to hand the ball back to the ref, not to do too much celebrating, because until the game is over, there's not too much to celebrate.
Exactly. I would definitely agree with that. And, of course, we're going to get into some other fun topics with you. We actually got some fan questions coming up a little later, and then obviously some serious ones too, but you know, since your great lady friend was on the phone a few minutes earlier, we might talk to her here in a minute, but she brought up the topic that I was going to get into with you, and that is you are a Spurs fan. Now, what did you think of the season this year?
Man, we had a great regular season, I'll say that. You know, 67 wins is the most in franchise history. I mean, it was awesome being able to watch your hometown team, you know, do good on the court. I mean, obviously, it was real disappointing watching the series against the Thunder. I mean, the Thunder were the better team, and I mean, they just got it done. We couldn't maintain what we needed to do in order to win this series. But I'm still proud of my boys, man. They hung tough for as long as they could, but we just couldn't finish the job.
Well, and like I told you earlier, or late last week, I'm a Mavericks fan, so you did better than we did, so I can't say anything about that.
No offense, but it's not too hard to do better than the Mavericks.
Yeah, it's about to be a scary time in Dallas as far as basketball. I'm not sure what the team's going to look like next year. I may have to go try out just so we have some talent.
You never know.
Yeah. I might have to do that. That might give me a reason to be in Dallas a lot more.
We'll be glad to have you.
Exactly. You know, I need to spend more time in that Dallas than the other one here, I believe. But one of the other things I wanted to get into, obviously you're a big cartoons fan. What would you say is your favorite mm-hmm. cartoon? Because I know we watch a lot of the same ones.
Man, so all-time favorite, like hands down, it's Captain Planet. It's been my favorite since I was little. Then we got after my next one was Secret Squirrel. It was kind of, you know, in between the two stupid dogs in there. Right now, I would say my favorite. Oh, there it goes in the background. Yeah.
I figured I'd throw that in the summer.
Probably right now, it's gonna be probably Family Guy. I mean, just because it has a lot of good skits in there, and it's really entertaining. So I'll probably say top three right now are those.
Who's your favorite? Well, yeah, we'll start there first. Who's your favorite Planeteer?
Oh, man. See, okay, I'm going to tie it all together right here. So since I'm a Spurs fan, we're all about the team. So it's not just one guy. It's about the group of Planeteers getting the job done.
Yeah, but you gotta have a favorite. Come on.
I don't know. It's hard. It's hard. Oh man, I can't decide. I can't.
Yeah, they all have their own. I always thought the fire ability was the best, but I always liked mm-hmm. the blonde girl on there. I felt like she was the most level-headed one, and she always kept everybody yep. else out of trouble. And for the life of me, I can't remember any of their names. I'm going to have to go back and watch this now.
Yeah. It's just hard to choose a favorite. It's hard.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, of course, you're also a Power Rangers fan, correct?
Yes, most definitely.
And we've talked about that before, and for anybody who hasn't been on your Facebook or social media recently, I'm pretty sure that your favorite Power Ranger is still the white one, correct?
Yes. So Tommy is my favorite Power Ranger. I mean, he was still my favorite when he was the green one, but it just made it better when he switched it over to white. I actually, when I was little, and for Halloween, I always used to want to be the White Ranger. So, I mean, he's just always been my favorite.
Yeah, Tommy was always my favorite, too. I always felt like I could do without some of the other ones. Even though they were good, they had their place, but it is what it is there, I think.
Exactly.
And, that's some of the fun ones. Now, of course, you still are the pride of Wachita Baptist College, correct?
Yes, sir.
You and Mr. Roy Richard, who is still your teammate on the Revolution.
Yes, sir.
See, I remember these things. I may have done some things to kill some brain cells over the years, but for some reason those memories stick. I always say it's because I wanted to remember them, so... But for those who didn't tune in to the last time I had you on, which I feel bad for, and I will throw myself under the bus once more, as I've done pretty much all season, it was almost a calendar year ago that I had you on. In fact,
man, I know.
I think it's more than a calendar year. It would be 370 days since I've had you on. Wow, I feel bad.
Yeah. When you asked me to do it, like the next day or something like that, the reminder on Facebook actually said that I was on the show, and I was like, man, it's been a whole year.
Yeah, once again, I will throw myself under the bus on that one. I have got even in the off season, I got to get you guys on and talk NFL and stuff like that.
I'm all for it.
Absolutely. Because, you know, as I was saying to your lady friend once again, whose name is Megan, I will not keep calling her your lady friend since she actually has a name and she was very nice on the phone. As I was alluding to her, when you're ready to hang up the cleats, I feel like you might get into this media gig because Sonny's had you in the booth a little bit last year when you first injured your foot, and then I've had you on here a couple times. You know, you got kind of a natural thing about this.
It's actually, I mean, I get nervous, I'm not going to lie, but, you know, like I was saying earlier, you just got to try out everything and see what you like the most because you never know. When football's over, you got to have a backup plan, so you still, after you just can't throw all your eggs in one basket, you got to try and do everything.
Exactly. And, you know, as far as back into your now that you're back playing, what was it like with that game-winning catch you had, which, you know, like we said, happened to be your first game back, but you caught the touchdown that put the Revolution up two. They ultimately, Cody Berry got the missed field goal return to put it up nine to officially put it away, or put it up eight, rather. But what was it like catching that game-winning catch?
Man, it was a good feeling. I mean, I've ran that route so many times throughout my playing days in arena. It was just, it's kind of almost like muscle memory. Me and Kent, he's actually thrown me, I think, like three or four touchdowns on that same play. And so, I mean, so just knowing it was coming to me was a good feeling when I was coming out of the huddle, but actually catching it and that being my first game back, my first touchdown catch since I've gotten hurt. And over a year at home, game winning. I mean, it was just an awesome feeling. I mean, like, I just can't even express like how good that felt. I mean, it was amazing.
And I really feel like when you caught that, I felt like you were officially back. Like, you know, you may still be slowly getting used to, you know, being back in the swing of things as far as the recovery and everything. And we'll get into your recovery in a minute, but when you caught that and Sonny's call that I was listening to at the time, I felt like, you know what, Brett is back. This is finally, he's back, and I felt like you were finally back where you wanted to be.
Exactly. And my teammates pretty much said the exact same thing. They're like, all right, he's back now, he's back. So, I mean, like I was saying before, it just felt absolutely amazing just to be back on the field with my teammates competing, trying to get this championship that we – after working so hard for it, I mean, and just after being back on the field, man, I mean, it's just great.
Well, and like I said, we'll get into your recovery now. It was kind of a long recovery. You kind of had a setback early in the season where thought you were going to be back early, and then all of a sudden we heard, yes, you know, kind of a setback. And, you know, what happened with that? Was it just it didn't heal properly, or, you know, what happened with that?
So, actually, it was a completely different injury. I actually tore my PCL in practice in camp. So, I mean, that was the extra setback because, I mean, I was actually ready to go. I was cleared. Everything was good. And then it's one day during practice, this kind of freak accident. One of the players fell on me and just, like, I just happened to fall the wrong way. And, I went to a doctor. They said I tore my PCL, and that was devastating itself because I was so excited to be back. I was finally, like, you know, happy practicing again. You never think you're going to be happy to practice, but at that point, I was just so happy to be back, so happy to practice, and then, like, for that to happen at that time, it was hard, but, you know, I got to thank the people at Baylor Rehab and Allen. David, he's my physical therapist. He's been there from the beginning. He's been working to get me back, and, I mean, I can't thank him enough for helping me get back on the field.
Absolutely, and I'll give a shout-out to David at Baylor Rehab in Allen, Texas as well, because if you got Brett back on and he's, you know, 100% ready to go, then that makes you very good at what you do. So shout out to David. In fact, if anybody knows David, somebody buy him a steak dinner or something like that, because we're very happy to have Brett back.
I'm glad to be back.
Exactly. Of course, we are on with Mr. Brett Reese, Jr. of Your Texas Revolution, talking a little Revolution football as we get into some other stuff. What's the fan interaction been like this season? Because, I mean, even though even when you were inactive and not playing, you're still around the fans, you're still going to the games. I mean, what's the fan interaction this year?
So, it was actually – it's just really cool to look at, because at the beginning, there were – still some friends from last year who remember me.
Mm-hmm.
So they would come up to me and say, hey, you know, how you doing? When are you coming back and all that? But obviously when you're playing and they keep hearing your name after being announced, more people are going to know you. And so definitely catching the game and a touchdown. And there were a lot more fans coming up to me after that game than any other game. But, I mean, it was just cool seeing the dynamic of the two. And just seeing how, like, some of the fans still knew me. Because as a player, you want to be recognized, kind of, in a way. And so, like, just having fans that still didn't forget about you and still cared about when you were coming back because they want to see you play, like, that was pretty cool, too. And that was also another motivating factor I had trying to get back.
Exactly. I know a lot of the fans are glad you're back because they said so in some of the questions I'll have for you here in a minute. But let's see. What else can we get into before we get to those? My producer made me promise that, unlike last time you were on, I will not do any good or bad Shaq or Charles Barkley impressions. Because apparently he went back and listened to last year's episode, and he told me I'm not allowed to do any basketball impressions whatsoever. So I guess I will keep working on those and sneak those in a little later.
I won't tell anybody.
I bet that you must remember them if you're laughing, Ted. And for anybody who hasn't checked them out, you can go back in the archives, or I may actually put it up on the website of Impact Media so that people can go check out last year's episode as opposed to this year's episode and see the growth we've both made. But like I said, we'll leave the bad impressions out for now. I did want to talk a little bit about your favorite movie, which you said was The Lion King. Is that still number one?
Yes, sir. Still number one. That will never change. Actually, for my birthday yesterday was my birthday. But my girlfriend actually got me a few Lion King shirts, and so, I mean, that was definitely one of the better. Presents that she got me, and I always wear a Hakuna Matata bracelet, and just because, how can you not like The Lion King?
Exactly, right? And, you know, even though you alluded to it, and I told you happy birthday yesterday, but for everybody who's just now listening to this show, or anytime you listen to this show, happy birthday once again, and if you do see him at the game, make sure to wish Brett a happy birthday.
I appreciate that.
Let's get into some fan questions. Why not? Get into some fan questions. And unfortunately, as I've said all year long, somehow our software, if anybody tags their name to these questions, somehow it gets lost by the time it gets to me. So if you ask this question, I apologize. I don't know who asked it, but just know that I'm asking your question. One fan wants to know,
oh, man,
what is your dream car?
Dream car. So I've always liked Hummers. So at one point it was the H2, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, now since those are discontinued, and actually most of Hummers are discontinued, it's probably the H3. But out of the cars I want now that are actually obtainable, I would say the 2016 Honda Civic, because I have a Honda Civic, and so I would have to go with the 2016 Honda Civic.
I'm going to have to check those out. I haven't seen the new one. I got a Honda Civic sitting in the driveway, but it's a lot older than 2016.
If anybody wants to, you know, make that a birthday present, you know, that's fine too.
Hey, there you go. Maybe we can get a GoFundMe page going, right?
Right.
If you're going to be a top-notch wide receiver for the Revolution, then we need to make sure you got a nice ride.
I'm telling you.
Although, you never know, the fans may get cute with it and get you a bus pass instead. I mean, that's what happened to me in high school when I was smart enough not to ask my parents for anything super fancy. When they showed me the vehicle that they said I could drive, I didn't say one word about it. And all the way up until I blew it up, I didn't say a word about it. But one of my friends had asked his parents for a Camaro or something like that, and they promptly handed him a bus pass. So I was like, that's why you don't overstep your bounds.
Exactly. I'm still driving this, my first car, so I understand.
Let's see. Next fan question. They want to know, this is actually a good question. I need to find out, hey, if you're the one who sent in this question, send us a message at any of our social media links or email us 3endzone at gmail.com, because you might have a future in this. They want to know, how does the game-winning catch you made last week compare to the one-handed catch you made in college?
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. That's a good question.
So with the storyline behind it, I would probably say the game winning catch just because of like the recovery and all that stuff, but like just overall catch in general, I would have to say the one handed one. I mean, that's probably, I would say, the best catch in my career. So yeah, I mean, I feel better about the one handed one if I had to show somebody, but
yeah,
the game-winning one was definitely great, too. Wow,
yeah,
that's a good one.
That's what I'm saying. If you're the one to come up with that question, please call and contact us, because we may put you on staff or something. That was man, that was a good question. That's making my questions look bad. Who knows for those people? Let's see. One of them was actually about Captain Planet, but we already talked about that. Hey, good. That means they're paying attention to these shows. I appreciate them doing
right?
that. Right? It's good to know, because, I mean, especially for them to know about that one-handed catch. They either had to go to high school with you or know you really well or listen to the show.
That's research right there.
Exactly. And I know I asked you this last time, but I want to see if it changed since last year. What would you say is the most important attribute to playing wide receiver?
It shows, well, if I remember correctly, I said catching the ball, and that's still what I would think is the most important, because if you're not going to catch it, then you can't play receiver. You can play DB if you don't want to catch it, but, you know, as a receiver, your main job is to catch the ball, so that's what I would probably say the main attribute is still.
Yep, that's what you said last year, and when I read that off to some people around here, they went, well, if you're a receiver, the most important thing is catching the ball. And I went, right?
That's it.
And, of course, we got your teammate, Kwon Dewberry, who is coming up right after you. What's something fun we can ask Kwon? Because I think he's listening in as well.
Oh, man. What's it ask Dewberry? Let's see. I'll probably say, how many questions do I get?
As many as you want, really.
Okay. I know. So two. One question would be, how do you like being Kent's backup? Two would be, do you prefer the old running man or the new one? And he'll know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Let's see. Three. Who came up with their celebration?
Oh, yeah, the one you told me about earlier. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I went back and watched that. I'm going to have to ask you about that.
Man, that's all I got. That's all I got.
Hey, those are good ones. You do well under pressure, though. And as we're finishing up here with Mr. Brett Reese Jr. of your Texas Revolution, it's been a blast having you back on. A couple more questions, and I will let you and Megan on to your night. you know, maybe you guys are going to eat a nice meal or watch The Lion King, which I don't have a problem with. In fact, I may do that when I get out of here.
I'm all for it if you watch The Lion King.
She's probably fussing at me right now for that. Like, let's watch that again. We just watched it.
I mean, she's actually listening to the show.
See, there you go. Let's see. Yeah, actually, the last question I got for you is one that I started. I actually asked Clinton Solomon when I had him on earlier this season, and
mm-hmm.
got such a good response that I've proceeded to ask everybody on the team. So here's the last question I got for you, Brett, and that is, if you win the lottery, besides obviously helping people out or buying cars or houses or paying things off, what are you going to spend just a big chunk of money on?
Besides helping people out, besides donating and stuff like that?
Yeah. Because there's always a chunk of money left over that you know, you just kind of look like, it's okay if I spend that. So what would you just, not really blow money, but a big chunk of money, what would you spend it on?
I would probably put most of it in my savings account. A lot of my friends would probably definitely agree with that one. But if I had to spend it, I'll probably build a gym and like a training facility for other athletes who want to go to like NFL and play there like I am, and train them.
I think that's definitely a good thing to do with it.
Yeah, just another way to give back.
You know, maybe if you or Quentin Abron, your Texas Revolution teammate, win the lottery, you guys could partner up, because he would want to start. He would want to start a charitable facility to help out people that started out the way he did and show them that they can overcome. So I mean, you guys partner up, you could not only bring them up and show them that you can always overcome your situation. You don't have to be a product of your environment, but that you can achieve great things and feel good about your health.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, I'll probably have to talk to them about that. I mean, that's something we can probably do. I mean, once we either stop football or, I mean, maybe just here in the future.
Yeah, maybe so. And obviously, I know you listened last week, so you know all about it. But, yeah, talk to him about it. And for anybody that didn't hear when I had Quentin Abron on, he's got a killer story just like Brett Reese does here. Just fun things. It's always great having you guys on. And, Brett, I promise you, because I promised the fans that I'm going to try to get as many as you guys back on later this season as I can, just to check up on you guys, see how everything's going.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, with you, make sure everything's still good to go health-wise and all that. And
right.
Just to see how many times you've watched Captain Planet or maybe cried over the Spurs season between now and then. But,
I'm done crying. I had one night. That was it. No more crying.
Exactly. Well, one last thing, man. I just thought of this. Being a Spurs fan, you think Tim Duncan's done?
Oh man, I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that. I hope, I hope not. I love Tim Duncan. He's my favorite player of all time. He's my favorite basketball player. So it would be hard to see him go. But at the same time, I just feel like it's almost time. But I hate to even say that. Just because it's Tim Duncan, he can play for forever. But
right, man,
I hope not. I hope not.
Yeah, I agree there. It's one of those. I mean, I'm looking at the same thing as a Mavs fan with Dirk. It's one of those. Whether he's done playing, he may leave the team this year. And it's as much as I'll hate to see him go, I just hope he does good things wherever he goes.
Yes, sir. Same here.
But like I said, Brett, it's been great having you back on. Obviously. Like I said, we'll have you back on before the end of the season, hopefully right at the championship game time. I think that would be fantastic. And make sure to high-five Megan there for us and tell her I appreciate the few minutes she gave us early on before the show started. And you guys have a great rest of your evening. We'll see you on later down the road.
Yes, sir. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And that was Brett Reese Jr., wide receiver, four-year Texas Revolution. He finally made his way back completely healthy. I didn't know he tore the ligament in his knee, man. That's crazy. But good that he's back. It's good to have him back on the team. And that catch he made at the end of last week's game tells me he is officially back. But somebody who's going to be here for the first time, of course, is my next guest. And I'm going to bring him straight on because I know he was listening in, and we may start with Brett's questions. But he is quarterback Kawan Dewberry of the Texas Revolution. How you doing, Kawan?
Hey, man, thanks for having me, guys. I'm blessed, man. Thanks a lot for having me.
Hey, I'm glad to get you on. I've been trying to get on as many players as I can, and I don't know how somehow I haven't had you on yet. I will throw myself under the bus again on that one.
Hey, man, no worries. This is the life of a backup, man. I guess that's how it goes. But I appreciate you remembering me this week.
Hey, I remember you every week, but it's good to have you on. And I know you heard Brett's questions that he had for you, so we may start with those if you're all right with those.
Wow. Okay. I'm ready when you guys are.
All right. Well, I'm going to start with that hard-hitting question he asked to start with, and that's what's it like being Robert Kent Jr.'s backup?
Wow. What's it like being a backup? We should let him answer that question as well,
right?
Man. You know. what player would prefer to be a backup? It's been great, man. I tell you the God honest truth, man. I've been around this game for a long time. I've had other quarterbacks on the team with me, and quarterbacks were always competitive with one another. But I tell you what, man, Kent has really been a pleasure this year. We have a lot of common ground so far as our backgrounds, where we come from, paths that we traveled to get to this point, our age. So, you know, I really find a lot of common ground with Kent, man, and we've been able to build a pretty decent bond between one another. So being a backup is never a great thing, but, you know, sitting behind the MVP isn't bad itself.
Does it compare to being, I guess, the equivalent of the NFL would be Tom Brady's backup?
I suppose. I mean, you got to ask Jimmy Garoppolo how he feels about that, man. Every backup is a starter in their mind, man.
So, oh, yeah.
No backup is going to tell you that they're happy where they're at. But, I mean, if we had something to compare it to, I guess that would be a fair comparison.
Definitely so. And the good thing is you have seen some action this year. And when you did, you were lights out, and you did your job and proved that, if Ken ever wanted to take some time off or you know, because I'm going to knock on wood right now. Hopefully no kind of injury happens or nothing like that. But,
absolutely.
I mean, you stepped right in and took over and said, hey, this is my team when he's not here.
I tell you what, man, it's been a role that I've had to – it's taken some time to get adjusted to, I'll tell you that much. But it's one that I've gladly accepted. You know, I'm a little bit older, not like the younger guys that can pack up and travel around and live out of a suitcase for a game. For the game, you know, I'm kind of past that point in my life, so this is my local option. I'm blessed to, you know, be back with the team and doing it for the camaraderie. And like I said, if you're gonna sit behind anybody, you know, you gotta find something that positive out of it. And I'm sitting behind the MVP, man. So I'm learning to play my role and do what I can to help the team win.
Absolutely. I mean, the talent level, I say week in and week out on this show, the talent level is higher than last year even. I didn't think it could get much higher with the guys we had in. But, I mean, you guys just day in and day out, between practice, between the games, and just it's such a family-like atmosphere that it's a blast getting to watch you guys play.
Very much so, man. And that's one of the main reasons that I want to do it, just for the camaraderie. A lot of guys here, it's a big fraternity. You'll find that at some point, you've either played against these guys, you've played with these guys, or somebody on your side of the ball knows about these guys. So when we all come together and treat it like a family environment, man, it feels real good. And it's one of the main reasons that I'm back, man, just for the camaraderie and the love of the game.
Absolutely. And we're definitely glad you're a part of this team and glad you're back, because you've actually been a part of this franchise for a good handful of years. You were back with the Allen Wranglers as well, right?
Yes, sir. I would like to consider myself one of the founding fathers of football here, indoor football here in Dallas. But, yeah, I was a part of the team in 2011. I made a good run in our first season in the IFL, which is a pretty strong league itself. Very, very similar rules, almost the exact same rules as our current league. But, yeah, that was back in 2011. So just been sticking around ever since then.
And once again, like I said, we're glad you did stick around because you are just as big a part of this team as anybody. And it's always good because, I mean, we've seen throughout every league that sometimes if you ain't got that depth at certain positions, then, you know, the wheels fall off.
Oh, man, you're absolutely right. That's one thing that this team does not lack at all. Top to bottom, I mean, we're at least 2 to 3 players deep at every position. So we are blessed in that regard.
Absolutely. And we'll get to the other two questions he had here real quick. He wanted to know your opinion between the old and the new running man.
I tell you what, man, I'm an older guy, so I prefer the original version. But, you know, I adapt to any situation, and since we are in these new day and time, man, I have to break that out when I get the opportunity to do the new running man.
Yeah, I impressed some guys that I know from a college team that we cover here at Impact Media. A lot of the student guys that cover the team, they started busting out a running man, and I just jumped right in the middle of it and started doing the new and the old version, and they went, "How in the world do you know those?" And I went, "Just know that I do."
You just know that you do.
Yep.
You hang around the game, you can't help but pick it up.
Exactly. I told him as long as that red light's not on and the camera's not on, I will show you all kinds of dance moves. But when that red light comes on, that's when I retire my moves.
It's all right.
And then the last one he wanted to know was the origin of the celebration you do with Dylan Calder after field goals.
Oh, man, Dylan's my guy. You know, it's a blessing to be down there holding the ball. I feel like, you know, I'm a contributor in the game at some point. But the thing about the kicker is nobody really likes you until they need you, you know. So I wanted to make sure that that Dylan was doing his thing as well. And we celebrate those extra points because here in the indoor game, man, every point matters. So that's just something that he and I came up with. And hopefully we can keep that rolling, man. Every time you see it, that means something positive's happened.
Absolutely. We had Dylan on a couple weeks ago. It was in between his Special Teams Player of the Week awards, and I felt like I jinxed him there because we talked about him going back-to-back, or we talked about him winning one, and then he won the next week, and we talked about it off the show, and then had kind of a rocky game, but he was able to keep it together, and he's a super dude for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great guy. Great parents as well, man. So we're definitely pulling for him, just keeping him keeping him prepared for that opportunity. You never know when our kicker has to be the one, last week, kicking for the game winner. So, you know, just want to keep him prepared, man.
Yep, absolutely. And like I said, we're on with backup quarterback Kawan Dewberry. I'm not going to say the word backup. I'm going to say quarterback Kawan Dewberry because, to me, you know, it's like when people say former president or something like that. I was like, no, you're always the president, just there's only one that's active.
Right. Well, I appreciate that, man. I like that a little bit better myself.
So I will say quarterback for your Texas Revolution, Kawan Dewberry, here on the Revolution Zone. Now, of course, you attended Morris Brown College, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I want to give a shout-out to Morris Brown because not only are they a good college, not only did you go there, but they are actually just a handful of miles down the road from our Atlanta Impact Media studios. So shout out to the ATL area. Anybody that represents from there is always we're always a fan of.
Absolutely. I was going to ask you about that. I saw the 770 area code on the cell phone. So definitely shout out to Morris Brown College in Atlanta, Georgia. School has been working through some tough times, man, working on getting the accreditation and things back together there with the school. But historic HBCU, really hate to see it going through some hard times, but, you know, strong people last through hard times, man, so we'll get through it.
Absolutely, yeah. Shout out to them. They're doing everything they can to get it back on the rails and get the train moving, and I think they're getting closer and closer every day. So, you know, like I said, shout out to any college in Atlanta or in the Georgia area, but, yeah, definitely shout out to Morris Brown. I've had some good friends come from there as well.
Absolutely.
And then I guess I could ask this first, but at the same time, you graduated from Putnam City North High School in Oklahoma City, right?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Originally from Oklahoma City. Shout out to Putnam City North Panthers as well.
Absolutely. I always give a shout out to any school we mention on here because they probably don't get the media coverage they deserve. So shout out to the Putnam City North Panthers there. So how do you get from Oklahoma City to the ATL?
Man, I'll tell you, I tore my knee up during my senior campaign.
Okay.
And was having a very, very solid season. I was about four games in. It was amongst the state leaders. We were experimenting with the five wide back then, so I had a lot of yards.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, just an opportunity to look at some possibilities with some D1 schools. But once that happened, you know, all of those letters went away.
Right.
Really what I was left with was JUCO opportunities primarily and kind of had me nervous, man. So I set out for about four games on a torn ACL and came back and played the rest of the season. Wanted to make sure I could earn my scholarship and get out of there. But my parents blessed me, man. They found a service called College Prospects of America.
Uh-huh.
And basically what they did for me is they built me a profile and they put it out to every school in the country, especially those that wouldn't even recruit my area. So as you can imagine, man, outside of the California guys, I was the furthest away from home being from Oklahoma in Atlanta, Georgia. But that's how I was able to land my scholarship through that service. So blessed by them to get that done.
Absolutely. And we'll give them a shout out, too, because there are a lot of, you know, unnamed services like that that help everybody out. And whether it's sports or not, sometimes you need a little bit of help trying to get that next opportunity. So shout out to them for everything they do.
Absolutely. I mean, especially back in that time, man, because you didn't have things like Huddle and, you know, just spots where you could upload your video and show it to the world. So, they definitely did me a great service back then.
Right. I was just having that discussion with a scout and a parent of a high school kid the other day, and I said, look, back in the day, even when I was coming through, you know, you had to know somebody that knew somebody that knew somebody that you could try to send a tape to in the mail or something like that. Nowadays, it's called YouTube and Huddle.
Absolutely. I'm telling my little cousin about that right now. He's getting ready to be a sophomore in high school, man, so you got to utilize that stuff.
Exactly. And what's your cousin's name?
His name is Jacorian Brown. Is he playing at Lincoln or – I'm not sure about the high school yet, but Jacorian Brown, defensive back. He's typically at the game, too, so maybe he'll hear this.
Hey, that's an incentive. You can tell him hopefully he does listen in because he's getting a shout-out. So Jacorian Brown,
absolutely,
defensive back of whichever school you go to that we can't figure out right now. Shout-out to you. Thanks for coming to all the Revolution games, and thanks for listening in right now.
Absolutely.
He can tell I was friends. He got a shout out on a radio show.
I sure hope he's paying attention today. I told him I was going to be on the radio. I didn't know exactly where to find it, but yeah, I got to get that information as well from you.
Yeah, definitely. So we have all the links out. We put on social media and that kind of stuff. And for a select few people that don't do the social media thing, I can email you links and I can I'll make sure that if you want to listen to the show, you can listen to the show.
Absolutely. Okay, yeah, I'll get that information from you then. Absolutely.
Now, as far as preparation for games, do you have a certain ritual you like to do pregame or a certain workout or something, or you just kind of roll with how you're feeling?
No special ritual for me. I guess the one superstition or that I do have is I like to be clean before the game, so I just want to take a good shower and make sure all my gear is downy fresh, man. I think if I play that way, then I'll stay clean throughout the game. So that's just kind of my mental thing that I do for game days. I want to be clean, body, clothing, everything.
I think that's definitely the way to be. Now, I'll transfer that right into the next question. Do you have any fitness or nutrition tips?
Fitness and nutrition, nothing really. You know what, I'm 35 years old, man, and people ask me all the time, like, man, why are you still doing it? How are you still doing it? Man, you get all these young guys, I'm sure you know, from doing the interviews with them. We got some 23, 24, 25-year-olds on the team, and stretching. I mean, that's the key to longevity, if you ask me, man. I go home and I stretch every night, 10, 15 minutes. Outside of my normal, you know, just workout routine, things that we do, even with the practice, but stretching is key.
Yep, I will definitely agree there. As I've gotten older, I went back to the 6 months. I took a karate back years and years and years ago when I was a little kid, and that guy always stressed stretching. So every day that I wake up, I stretch for at least 5 minutes, if not 15, and I stretch for 10 or 15 minutes before I go to sleep every night.
That's good, man. That'll keep you young, man. It keep them older joints working. I'm telling you, that's been my key as of right now. And I still think I got maybe two or three more seasons left in me, so we'll see.
Hey, we definitely hope so, that you can play just as long as you want to play.
Cool thing about being the quarterback, man, you can.
Exactly. You just got to stay in shape and keep that mind fresh, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now we do got fan questions, as we did with Brett, that I'll get to here in a couple minutes. But what would you say is the best quarterback attribute?
Best quarterback attribute. Ah, man. So many of them. I mean, it's a very demanding position. I really just think you have to be a leader of men, though. Biggest thing. I mean, the arm strength is great. The speed, the knowledge is great. But if you can't get guys around you to play for you, then what are you? You know, I mean, I think quarterback is a position that gets a lot of praise, but it's a highly dependent position as well. It's incumbent on your success is incumbent upon the line doing their job, the backs doing their job, the receivers making plays. So I think you have to be the kind of person that those guys want to sell out for and that those guys want to make plays for.
Exactly. You know, it kind of goes back to, I don't know if you've seen the movie Draft Day.
I have. Good show.
Yeah. I thought it was. And what I told people, I said, that is as far back as football will pull the curtain to let those not in the know kind of aware of what can and does happen sometimes. They're not going to tell you everything, just like the movie The Wrestler is not going to tell you exactly everything. But, you know, in there it all came down to that one quarterback prospect that everybody seemed to like except for the Browns and Kevin Costner's character. And the thing they found out was no matter how good the skill was, he wasn't a leader and his teammates didn't like him. So that's definitely it is important to be a leader.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, outside of the physical attributes, man, that's got to be the top thing. You got to be approachable. You got to be likable by your team, and they have to respect you.
Exactly. Well, especially since you mentioned your cousin and that hopefully he's listening in, and if he's not, he'll listen later, of course. What's it like being a role model?
Oh, man, you know what? I never really saw myself as that until I became a parent. And then, you know, last year I got into coaching a little bit as well, coaching my son's soccer team. And so I really realized how much, you know, children do pay attention to you and look up to you. I think it's great being a role model, but I think it's a lot of responsibility. You know, some days I just want to be me, but I have to be mindful of the eyes that are watching me. So, you know, that doesn't only translate on the field and with children, but that also translates here in the corporate environment and the work world as well. You know, it just makes you more cognizant of what you're doing and what you're saying and who's actually paying attention to it. So I think it's great, but I think it comes with a lot of responsibility.
Exactly. And I always bring up the famous quote that Charles Barkley said a couple years ago where he said athletes aren't role models. But it's one of the few times I will disagree with Sir Charles that, you said, everything we do, whether you're a high-profile athlete or whether, you know, you dig ditches for a living, and there's nothing wrong with either of those. But there's always little eyes and there's always big eyes watching you to see how you react and if they think that's a good thing or a bad thing.
And that is exactly right. I've learned that more as I've gotten older. You know, I've always been the kind of person that was just like, hey, I'm my own individual. But, you know, I became a parent. And so, you know, and other parents' children pay attention as well. So I try and monitor myself as much as possible.
Exactly. And once again, we are on with quarterback Kawan Dewberry of your Texas Revolution. See, that has a better ring to it. I'm like that. And we're going to get into some fan questions here. One fan wants to know about your fashion as far as what goes into what you wear, I guess, off the field. Is there a certain thing, or do you just dress for comfort, or, you know, what's your thought process in figuring out what you're going to wear every day?
Oh, man, with fashion, you know, it really just depends. You know, my brother is a fashionista, definitely, and, you know, so he's always up on the latest stuff. But, you know, we have two different work backgrounds, so I try and make sure that I got something for my corporate environment as well as when I'm away from it. I don't think there's a lot of thought that goes into my fashion. Thank God for my wife. She helps dress me. But
exactly, right?
Know, I try and dress age appropriate. You know, I don't want to look too old, and nor do I want to look too young. So.
Exactly. I think I'm right there with you for that. And, you know, thank goodness there are great women who decide to spend their lives with us and show us how to dress well and to not dress like we're poor.
Exactly, man. Thank God for the wife.
Exactly. So shout out to all the amazing women that help us make these decisions and make us look like responsible adults, even if sometimes we're not.
Hey, I tell you, it goes a long way, man. Perception is everything, so my wife helps me manage that.
Exactly. Sound like you got you a good one there. So once again, we'll give a shout out to your wife, and thanks for everything you do.
I'm going to make sure she hears that tonight.
Yeah, exactly. If let me know if you're having trouble hearing it or something. I'll try to cut up just that clip and send it to you.
I appreciate it. Hey, that'll keep you out the doghouse for a while right there.
Exactly. I might get some brownies mailed to the studio or something like that.
All right.
Next fan question. They want to know, apparently this is a popular question. It may be the same person sending this in every time. They want to know what your dream car is.
My dream car? Oh, man. I don't know that I have a dream car. I like what I drive now.
Well, what do you drive now?
I have a 2014 Lincoln MKX. So it's pretty sharp, nice wheels on it. I really like American luxury. My father sold cars for as long as I can remember as a child, man. So we've driven some of everything. And I don't know. I'm an American-made kind of guy. So I like the Cadillacs. I like Lincolns. I like Jaguars, which is owned by Ford. Land Rover's owned by Ford. So I don't have a dream car per se. I really don't. But hey, if I can afford it, man, I'll drive it.
Exactly. That's kind of always been my mantra. As long as it looks pretty decent and gets me from A to B, I really don't care what it is.
Enough said.
even though your current car may qualify as a dream car, I think that's a pretty nice ride.
Oh man, you should have saw what I was driving before that. So I definitely had an upgrade.
What'd you have before that?
Oh man, that, just my little A to B. My A to B. That's all she was. The 02 Oldsmobile. Still got it. That's old faithful, man. You can't get rid of her.
No.
But yeah, she sits in the garage now.
Exactly. She's earned her retirement.
A proper one as well.
And like I said, we're on with quarterback Kawan Dewberry of your Texas Revolution. Next fan question. They want to know. They didn't know if you're one of those players that rocks headphones for pregame or working out or anything. But either way, what are your kind of top music choices?
Oh man, I'm a hip hop guy. If I told you some of the names, man, I probably couldn't repeat all those songs here on the air. But I'm definitely a hip hop guy. I do enjoy some rock. Some country music even, and I do like to hear a little bit of gospel from time to time, but just something to get me going, consists of a good beat and some good lyrical content.
Exactly. I think I'm right there with you. That's why some of my friends give me crap. The last few days on Facebook, I've started a thing called hashtag cruise control, and it's whatever two or three bands or artists I'm listening to as I'm driving down the road for that afternoon or something like that, and some of them are like, I didn't even know you listened to them, or I didn't know anybody listened to them, or some of them are like, oh, that's my favorite band. And I'm like, I look through my collection that I've acquired over the years and just find some whatever I'm feeling at that moment, and I throw it up on Facebook to see what, you know, just to see what other people think, I guess.
I'm going to take a look at that, man. I really listen to a little bit of everything, but, you know, game time, I definitely got to get something to get the juices flowing. So, but I'm going to check you out on that hashtag cruise control.
Yeah, definitely so. And maybe give me some suggestions, too, because I have been slowly going through storage trying to find some of the rest of my stuff I used to have, and maybe there's some stuff I need to go pick up on iTunes.
Okay, I'll keep you posted.
And let's see. Back to some of the questions I had for you.
Okay.
What's the fan interaction like with the Revolution?
Oh, man. You know what? Like I said, I've been here since the team's inception in 11. Tommy was actually the commissioner of the league back then, and now he's the owner of the team. And I've seen it grow progressively. I've seen it get better each year. And what's really, really cool about it is you see the impact that you have in the community by the returning faces, you know, guys that remember you when you were playing, and they know you're a backup this year, but they still love you like you're the starter, man. So it feels great to get that love and to interact with the people. I love seeing the familiar faces, man. There's one guy that comes every week, and he's like, man, I bought your jersey back in 11. I thought that was real cool. So, I mean, the fan interaction is really what I do it for. You know, the camaraderie, the fans, the love of the game. At this level, it's great because they sit right on top of the field. You can't help but interact with the fans. And so it's definitely a blessing to get that love from them.
Absolutely. And I may be a little biased, but Revolution have one of the best indoor fan bases I've seen anywhere probably. I mean, they do get into it, and they're not afraid to high-five you or even give you a hug sometimes if you go over the barrier there.
They might even catch you, man. So, yeah, we do. We do have a great fan base, and I think it's growing.
Absolutely. The attendance numbers are up. But, I get more interaction through the show. I know Sonny and John Navarez have said things about it as well that, yeah, this team's definitely growing a great fan base, and the sky's the limit as far as where it's going to go.
I agree with that.
Who was your favorite team growing up?
Oh, man. I only have one team that I follow in all of sports. And football-wise, I'm a fan of the game. I cheer for players more so than teams because teams break your heart. But I really just only have one sports team that I follow, and they weren't even around when I was growing up. So really don't have an NFL team to hang my hat on, man, but I follow players more so than teams.
All right, we'll get into the players here in a second, but what sports team is it that you follow?
Oklahoma City Thunder, baby. Thunder up.
There you go.
I was listening to you talk to Brett about the Spurs, and I didn't want to chime in before I was supposed to, but I was feeling kind of good about that one.
See, if I'd have known that, I should have put that together with Oklahoma City, with Putnam City and all that. I should have brought you on because – man, I guess you can catch him at practice or at the game with that one. And I think Brett's still listening in. So, sorry, Brett. I think we just opened a can of worms here, but this should be fun.
I saw him this morning with the Spurs socks on, and I had to say something. So, it's already got it. Already got it.
That, hey, you got to do that. That's part of it.
Absolutely.
Now, you talked about instead of having a favorite team, you followed a lot of players. And I was the same way. That's why it's hard for me to pick teams sometimes. But who were some of the players you followed growing up?
Oh, man, a lot of great quarterbacks. You know, I've been playing quarterback since I was a kid. And, you know, honestly, African-Americans haven't always been popular at the position. So the guys that kind of pioneered the thing is who I really look up to. There aren't many great black college quarterbacks that went through the NFL, but the guys that come to mind most definitely are Doug, Steve McNair. You know, some of those guys are who I really idolize. Warren Moon, not an HBCU guy, but definitely a pioneer for the position, you know, for African-Americans. And then, you know, a lot of the guys that are carrying on the torch now, I'm not just biased to those. I'm a big Peyton Manning fan, greatest quarterback ever, if you ask me. And I know a lot of people will argue that against Tom Brady, but, I mean, to win, to go to Super Bowls with different coaches, different coordinators, go through that type of injury – you know, I mean, he hasn't been as blessed as some, but I think Peyton is the man. Definitely watch Tom Brady. I like the older guys, but I like the short guys as well. So shout out to Russell Wilson and Drew Brees, and who's also a member of my family as my brother's wife's nephew is Trayvon Boykin at TCU, just got picked up by the Seattle Seahawks as well. So shout out to him in the start of his career, man, just wishing him blessings and nothing but success.
Absolutely, that guy is super talented, and we wish him the best. Yeah, I won't. Yeah, there's not enough time left in the show for us to get into the Brady Manning debate because I'm a Brady homer for sure. But I give the good thing is I give proper due respect to Peyton that you know he earned everything he got. I felt like he could have had a couple more a few times, but it was out of his control. Just you got to have the right manager sometimes, and they didn't give him the right players.
You do. You do. And it kind of goes back to the point I was making earlier, man. It's a very dependent position, the quarterback position is, man. And, you know, he's lacked a defense and a running game through all of his years with the Colts and, you know, been through a few coaches as well. So that's a great debate, man. We'll have to have that debate sometime.
We definitely will. I feel like it could be a roundtable discussion. We can get people to pick different quarterbacks, and we'll go through that. Who is your favorite celebrity that you've met?
Favorite celebrity that I've met? Oh, man.
Now, I do want to throw out the disclaimer. John Navarez Jr. does count in this scenario, and I'm sure he would appreciate it.
John knows he's the man, man. John. My favorite celebrity that I've met, I have met a few people, but I don't really get starstruck, man. I met Steve Harvey, Cedric the Entertainer, one time. I've been working in hospitality for years, man, and they were at one of the hotels that I was managing at, so it was real cool to meet those guys. And Bernie Mac was a part of that function as well, so I got to meet him before he passed on. I met Dick Gregory one time and had a drink with him in my hotel, and that was amazing to me. If you know who Dick Gregory is, he's a comedian back in the 60s and 70s, civil rights activist, you know, had a lot of things to say. I met Ted Turner one time and didn't even realize who he was, to tell you the truth, but it was just kind of cool to see, oh, man, that's Ted Turner right there. So I haven't met a lot of people, but those particular interactions right there are the ones that stick out in my mind.
Well, those are definitely some absolute great ones, those comedians you mentioned. I'm going to have to look up the other guy. The name sounds familiar, but I can't quite place him. But meeting Steve Harvey and Cedric the Entertainer and obviously Bernie Mac, you know, a lot of people like to fall all over celebrities, especially once they pass, like, you know, and try to make it seem like they're the big experts of them. And in no way am I an expert of those three, but by far I've always been a fan of theirs. And Steve Harvey's done so much for the Atlanta area that he's definitely on my list. And actually, Catherine Dunn, that does the Inside the Revolution shows, actually, the story she told was she wanted to meet Steve Harvey. She was at an event, and since he was running low on time, he just came straight in, skipped the red carpet where she was at, did the event, and left. So, you know, maybe, Catherine, you should hit up Kawan here, and maybe through some luck and maybe some connections, maybe you can meet him.
Hey, they shared some good stories with me, but I'm not connected at all, man. It was just cool to meet those guys. And actually, they were, like I said, I was in hospitality, so they were having a meal in a restaurant that I was in, so you can imagine over a good meal and a bottle of wine how candid the conversation got, man. It was just a blessing to be a part of.
Oh, absolutely. It's a good interview tactic for getting some good stuff sometimes, but I always turn the microphone off when I have those conversations.
Right on.
You know, like the Vegas mantra says, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I always say what happens over alcohol should stay over alcohol.
Hey, man, I totally agree with that. I agree with that.
Exactly. And the follow-up to that is, what celebrity would you like to meet that you haven't met?
Who would I like to meet? Oh, man. You know what? I haven't put a whole lot of thought into that. Who would I like to meet as a celebrity? I don't know. Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan. I love to meet Mike, man. That's the first one I can think of. I mean, just right off top. I mean, like I'm a football player, but I've always played basketball as well. And it doesn't matter what sport you're in. If you got Mike's competitive nature, then you're a monster. So I love Mike.
Absolutely. There's not many people that don't. And I think he definitely qualifies. So, you know, anybody with any connections out there, even the fans that are listening, if you know Mike, you know, hook Kawan up here.
Oh, I know Tim Brown. I know Heisman Trophy Hall of Famer Tim Brown. Yes, I know that guy. So that's one of my top celebrity picks as well. I need to get a picture with him.
Definitely, absolutely.
Yeah, Drew Pearson was a part of the ownership group in the Wrangler days, and so I don't have a good shot with Drew Pearson. I need to get a shot with him. I was able to meet Staubach with him, and that was really, really cool, but I didn't get a picture of it. And Tim Brown, I hope you're listening, man. You owe me a picture.
Exactly, and Tim Brown, I hope you're listening too. We'd love to have you on the show, and I know you're quite busy with all the Hall of Fame stuff and the being the GM of this team, but hey, somewhere in the future, man, if I have to meet you somewhere, Tim, we want to get you on the show.
Absolutely. That'd be a great interview.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He was one of my favorites growing up. I actually favored him over Jerry Rice and a couple others just because, to me, you put up those kind of numbers and you seem to have a different quarterback every other year. None of them were amazing for the most part, and he seemed to carry that Raider franchise for years. So I always kind of held him in a little bit higher regard.
That's another great debate. I think that's kind of why I feel the way I do about Peyton Manning versus Brady. But Tim Brown, I mean, he did it with multiple guys. Jerry Rice had Hall of Famers at every turn. So,
absolutely. Yeah, it's that whole system debate. But like I said, that's another day and another dollar, I think. And as we finish up here with quarterback Kawan Dewberry from your Texas Revolution, from my Texas Revolution, they're as much my team as anybody's, I guess.
Absolutely.
Just a couple more questions, and I will let you back to your day, or let you back to your evening, because I know you are busy with all those things coming up, not just on the field, but off the field. Something I like to ask players, especially quarterbacks, because I always identify more with quarterbacks for some reason, quarterbacks and kickers, so I guess that makes me half insane or something. But, like, when you come up to the line, kind of walk us through a play, and if you need to, I can give you your personnel out there, but just, you know, you come up to the line, maybe you're calling out the play, maybe you're calling out a protection. What's kind of going through your head, like, before the snap and then as the play is developing?
Well, what's real cool about this year, you know, with Kent, Kent's also the OC, and so he's calling a lot of the game himself, and I've had to adapt that as well. You know, just to be prepared to call the game on my own and then go out and execute it, which is something unique to me. As a quarterback, I've always had the right to, you know, maybe veto a call and go with my own call, but just to completely make the call myself is something new to me. So something that he does very well, something that I'm adapting to this year. But I'm running the play through my mind. I'm seeing the routes before I actually get to the line. And as I approach the line, I'm checking the play clock. I'm checking the Mac backer. Looking at stances on DBs. It's just a lot of things that you have to dissect, you know, in those short few seconds prior to, you know, calling hut and the play going live. So those are just some of the things that I really just try and pay attention to. I like to visually see the play develop in my mind's eye. I'm going to definitely take a look at the Mac backer and the safeties primarily. You know, the corners, I like to take a look at the corners, but, you know, the safeties dictate a lot, especially in this game because it's very much like the outdoor game. And so that helps me kind of know where I want to go with the ball, gives me maybe two options, you know, once the snap is called, that I can go ahead and check here, possibly get to a third before, you know, it's time to go.
Yeah, because of the speed of the game on any professional level, especially in the indoor environment, it is so quick. You don't have time to go through all the options.
You don't. Not always. You don't. So, you know, you definitely want to have a pre-snap read, you know, maybe a second option from there. You could possibly get down to your check down. Our backs, Fudge and JB, are awesome at turning a negative 2-yard swing pass into a 30-yard gain. So I have no problem checking it down to those guys if need be. And if it gets too clouded, man, we're getting out of there.
Wow, and Brett Reese still is listening in because he just texted me a picture of him and Tim Brown and said for you to not get jealous.
Must be a receiver thing going on.
It must be. You need to make up a story about how you always wanted to be a receiver and they made you play quarterback or something like that.
Hey, man, they got to give me some love. I need at least a pitch. I've been around this organization too long not to deserve that.
Exactly. You might be one of those banners in the Raptors one day soon.
Hey, man, that'd be a blessing. It'd be a blessing.
Of course, not before the face of the team, Frankie Solomon, goes in there. He needs to hurry up and get well. I don't want him to rush it for the obvious reasons, but, I mean, it's crazy, though. You talked about the depth of this team. I mean, somebody like Frankie goes down, who's kind of the leader of that defense, and you guys didn't miss a beat. Like, all of a sudden, he tells Webb to step up, and Webb has one of the best games he's ever had. Kent went down a couple times, and you got the chance to come in and play, and it's like they never left. It's you guys are on, even par talent with everybody.
Yeah, absolutely right, man. That's like I said, that's one of the biggest strengths of our team, man. We go four or five deep at least three deep at every position. So it makes for extremely competitive practices, and it makes guys accountable. You can't just float through and kind of halfway get by, man. The next man will take your spot.
Absolutely. And got the one last question for you, and I'm sure you heard Brett answer it because, like I said, I started asking, I believe Clinton was the first one I asked, and I get such a response that I ask it to everybody. So the last question I got for you, Kwan, is if you win the lottery, besides obviously paying off things or buying a house for people or helping other people, what would you just spend like a big chunk of money on?
Man. Outside of the things that you already named, I mean, I think to who much is given, much is expected, man. So you got to find a way to give back. Got to clear some bills, clear some debt. I like what Brett had to say in dealing with the youth, and just my background alone, man. I would definitely do something that kind of caters to them, inner city youth in particular. My son lives in downtown Atlanta. So he sees a lot of things that, kids in the suburbs don't see. And they're privy to a lot more things that inner city kids aren't. So I think I would definitely give back in that regard and do something in that area. But, man, for myself, I'm going to buy a boat. I want a big, huge boat with a staff.
Right?
I don't even want to know how to drive it. I just need a boat and a staff, man. They take me wherever I need to go.
Well, your teammate Darius Fudge said that he would want to go on a world cruise because he's actually been kind of looking into it already. And I told him if I won the lottery that I guess me and him would go on that world cruise. But, if you buy a boat with a staff, maybe you let Darius on. You guys just travel around the world.
Hey, man, it's enough room for all of us on the boat I'm talking about. So you come along too, man. Trust me, I got a whole section for Fudge by himself.
That'll be a fun section there.
Absolutely.
Well, Kwan, it's been fabulous having you on. And once again, I'll throw myself under the bus that I'm just now getting you on. But as I've told all you guys, I'm going to try to get everybody on at least for a few minutes between now and the end of the season. Kind of check in. The fans want to see how things are going. Obviously, they got more questions for you down the road as well. But it's been a pleasure having you in. And good luck the rest of the season. Obviously, we'll be watching and covering everything and staying in touch with you. And have a great rest of your evening, and we'll see you down the road.
I certainly appreciate you. Thanks a lot. Shout out to my wife. I love you, LaToya. Shout out to the team. Cannons up, baby. Going to get this ring.
Absolutely. Cannons up. We'll see you later down the road.
All right, man. You take care now.
You too.
Goodbye.
And that was quarterback Kwan Dewberry of your Texas Revolution. I tell you, each and every week I bring on guests, I bring on guys we've had before, I bring on guys we haven't had on before, and every time, every one of them are awesome, just awesome. It makes it so much fun to be on this side of the microphone and to talk to these guys, just fabulous people. And, I mean, look at the luck we had here where Brett Reese Jr. is a Spurs fan, and they were just unfortunately eliminated from the playoffs by Kwan's team, Oklahoma City Thunder. I can't lie, I kind of want the Thunder to do pretty well. this year. I feel like they're finally where they deserve it. So go Thunder as far as that. But before we get out of here, we got about 15 minutes left in the show, I believe. Before we get out of here, I want to talk a little bit about the game coming up this weekend. Of course, your Revolution are coming off a bye week where they won the bye week. And, yes, you can win the bye week because you can lose it as well. Nobody got hurt. Nobody got injured. Nobody got arrested. These kind of things don't happen with the Revolution anyway. But nothing crazy happened. Everybody's good to go. In fact, everybody's a little healthier and really revved up, for a lack of a better term. Now, this weekend, the 1-8 Mesquite Marshals will be in the Allen Event Center against your Texas Revolution, who are 8-1 on the season. They have played two other times this season. Let's see if we can get that up. They played... where is that? Can you get that screen out? There it is. They played on March 19th in the Allen Event Center, where the final score of that is somewhere. There it is. Your Revolution were able to keep the lead after the second quarter. Pretty much had the lead most of the game. They ended up winning 41-31 on that one. As far as some of the bigger stats of that game, Jordan Brown had 10 rushes for 35 yards. Fudge had 15. Fudge had two rushing touchdowns. Robert Kahn actually rushed for one. It was that naked bootleg. It's one of my dad's favorite plays, and it actually works. I've seen Peyton Manning do it, so I know it works. As far as passing, Kent threw for three that day and 135 yards. He was 50%, only had the one interception. Leading receivers was Tavares Williams, who had a touchdown. Clinton Solomon had a touchdown. Darius Fudge had a touchdown. Frankie was a shutdown, didn't allow a whole lot. Actually fielded some of the kickoffs as well. That game went pretty well, like I said. Also, the Revolution went to Mesquite. They will actually do that again in a couple weeks. I believe the season finale. But in the game on April 2nd in Mesquite, final score of that one, of course, was your Texas Revolution 51, Mesquite Marshall 32. A little bit more of a, not really a lopsided, but a little more consistent from the Revolution. They had been playing a few more games at that point. Oddly enough, no rushing touchdowns that game, but Robert Kent threw for eight. I believe that was one of the records he set. He threw one to Clinton Solomon. Ronnie Cooper Jr. had two. Darius Fudge had three. Jordan Brown had a couple. It was just like, you get a touchdown, and you get a touchdown, and you get a touchdown. It was a touchdown party for sure. We didn't allow all that many yards as well. That was always a great thing. And while we're on the subject, thanks to the miracles of technology, I want to give a shout-out to Catherine Dunn, who just made it just helped spread the word on the show. So we'll give her the social media shout-out, and she also said something about wanting to meet Steve Harvey, so hey, we'll try to make that happen. But after those two games, with the one leading up now, I'm going to get the updated standings. And we're going to start in the north as we always do. Right now, these Salina Bombers are 2-8. Chicago is 3-7. The Bloomington Edge is 4-5. Omaha Beef are 5-4. Everybody's got about two or three games left. You actually hold the advantage if you do have three games opposed to two. Technically Bloomington and Omaha Omaha for sure, but Bloomington's still in there. And technically Chicago could be too if Omaha blows the last couple games. But Omaha Beef are 5-4. The Sioux City Bandits are 7-3. And 7-2 is your leader, the Wichita Force. Moving in the Southern Division, the Mesquite Marshals are at 1-8. Hey, for a first-year team, they're like Dodge City was. I mean, not Dodge City, Duke City was last year. We'll see how the Gladiators are doing this year. We'll get to them in a minute. But Mesquite's on this way to definitely being a powerhouse in this league. You got to start somewhere. They're going to have a lot of these guys back. They're going to really start to make some impactful moves as well. But they are 1-8 currently on the year. The San Angelo Bandits are 2-7. The Gladiators, I just mentioned, are 5-5. They are technically still in this. Dodge City is at 6-3. So is the Armory of Venom, and your Texas Revolution lead the entire CIF with a 8-1 record. They are actually the only team currently with a playoff spot. And I believe if they win this week, they will have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. That will be fantabulous. It's a word because I just made it up. But this game this weekend, of course, between the Marshals and the Revolution, is on Friday, May the 20th. It is at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Of course, that is like 4 o'clock Hawaii. Hello, Hawaii. Actually, maybe 3 o'clock. Yeah, 3 o'clock Hawaii. Sorry, that was Alaska then. I said 4 o'clock. It's at the Allen Event Center, and it's also on eversport.tv if you can't make it to the game live. If you can, I encourage you to definitely go try to check out, say hello to Kawan and Brett and all the other guys we've had on this year, and even some of the ones we haven't yet. But we're going to try to start stacking them up and get more and more on. And I want to start a hashtag. Hashtag Beat Mesquite. BeatMesquite. Beat Mesquite. I want to start that hashtag. I want it trending sometime this week. That'd be great. Especially on Friday. If it could trend by Friday, that would be fantabulous as well. I would use that word a lot more. But definitely check out that game. And before we get out of here, things I wanted to mention, especially for our Atlanta fans and obviously for Kawan's son and everybody else in the Atlanta area. Today's Matt Ryan's birthday, so shout out to number 2, Matty Ice. Appreciate all you've done for the Atlanta area. You've done a lot as well, just like Steve Harvey. Hope you had a good birthday. Maybe you went back to Top Golf and played a little bit. But definitely rest up. Look forward to you doing some cool things this year. And that's going to do it for us this week. So, shout out to Kawan Dewberry, quarterback for your Revolution, and wide receiver Brett Reese Jr. of your Revolution, of my Revolution, of our Revolution. Shout out to those guys. Definitely enjoyed having them on. We will definitely try our best to get them back on, even just for a few minutes in the next couple months as the season goes on. And maybe try to get them on in the fall to talk some NFL football. But for Kawan and Brett, and shout out to Catherine Dunn and Brett's girlfriend, Megan, I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week. Cannons up. I broke death line. Freedom scribbled on your sign. Headline, New York Times. Standing on the edge of a revolution. Hey, hey, just obey your secret safe with the NSA. And God we trust or the CIA. Standing on the edge of a revolution.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?